Can you imagine what it would be like to live without the gift of light? What if in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he forgot to say, "Let there be light"? Without a doubt, our world would be a very, very dark place. In our lesson for this morning from the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us that we were once darkness, but now we are light in the world. We are light in the Lord. And because that is true, the Apostle Paul encourages us to live as children of the light. But as you also know, because we are sinful and broken, that living as children of the light is not so easy for any one of us to do. Let me give you just one reason why it's so difficult for us to live as children of the light. The story is told of a woman who was a fanatic gardener. She spent a great deal of time in her garden throughout the spring, summer, and fall. On one particular year, her garden was incredible. It was growing out of control. One afternoon, she came across a very large and lush squash plant. It was beautiful. Its leaves were large, and its stems were strong. And she could envision in her mind the number of amazing squash that that beautiful plant would one day produce. And then it happened. Another day, while she was out tending to her garden, she discovered in dismay that this one single squash plant, the one she admired so very much, had begun to wilt. Even though all the other plants around it looked very healthy and strong, this one plant, this one she coveted so greatly, was starting to die. And so she went about the work of trying to nurse it back to health. But much to her dismay, a few days later, it died. It looked so beautiful. It looked so strong on the outside, but obviously something was wrong on the inside. And so sadly, she pulled it up from the ground, and when she did, she examined the roots. And there in the midst of that withered stem was a boar worm that had eaten the very heart out of that plant. My friends, that's how hidden sins work in each and every one of us. Everything may look good and strong and spiritual healthy on the outside, but on the inside, like a boar worm, there's darkness and there's death. And because it is so often true in your life and mine, we know that it is those hidden, dark sins that so often assail us in this life that take away our joy in Jesus. And when that happens, we as the people of God must fall on our knees before our Savior God and repent of our sins and ask our gracious God to restore his light and his life in each and every one of us, which we know he will. A young boy went to the movies several years ago with his family. As his parents headed into the theater, he had permission to go to the concession stand and buy some popcorn. The line was long, and it took a great deal of time for him to receive his popcorn. And when he finally went into the theater to the movie that his parents had chosen for them to enjoy, the lights had already been dimmed. He walked up and down the aisle several times looking for his family, but he couldn't find them. The lights went darker, and he continued to frantically search for his family, but to no avail. Finally, he walked to the front of the theater, and with a very loud voice, he said this, "Does anyone recognize me?" I often wonder how many people ask that same question, both inside and outside the church. Does anyone recognize me? As a pastor who has been blessed to serve in the same parish for over 20 years, I often wonder, as I did yesterday, as I serve God's people in that place, if there are people sitting in the midst of God's people wondering to themselves, does anyone recognize me? Does anyone know me? And I have to tell you, as a pastor, we've done all kinds of things to make people feel assimilated and included into the family of God at St. John's. One of the things that we often do, as we just did since the last time I was with you in January, is we produced yet another church directory to help us stay acquainted with one another. I remember the Sunday about 4 weeks ago when people were able to go to their bulletin boxes and pull out their directory, the one they had been waiting for such a long time. I'm not sure they got much out of the service that day, but they were able to find their picture, and in most cases, their address was correct. There is a God. As part of our visitation plan, last Tuesday afternoon, I had the blessed privilege of visiting one of our longtime members, Liz Frazee. And as we shared stories about our family and about the great things that God was doing in both of our families, Liz, who was about 85 years old, suddenly reached behind her in the chair she was sitting in, and she pulled out that new church directory. And she said, "Pastor, this is awesome." And I said, "Yes, it is." And she said, "There's so many people in here I don't know." And then she took her reading glasses and she pulled them down a little bit farther on her nose. She looked directly at me and said this. She said, "Pastor, in the time that I have left, that's going to change." Isn't that awesome? Let me tell you a little bit about Liz. She's about 85 years old. She still drives 10 miles out to our church almost every single Sunday as she was able. In the time that I have served her as her pastor, she's had three major, major back surgeries. And she walks with a hunch, and every step she takes is filled with great pain. And when she said that, I couldn't help but think of the words of the Apostle Paul. "We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. So let us walk as children of the light." Even though Liz doesn't walk very well, barely at all, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of love that has been placed in her heart by that same Spirit, she's trying ever so slowly to be light. Light in the Lord. How about you? How about me? Are you and I a string of lights that goes out from this place into this world and in this community in which we live? I pray that we are. I pray that, inspired by the great love of Jesus, who is the light of the world, whose light has come and shone in the darkness of our hearts through the waters of holy baptism and called us to be his very own, I pray that you and I are like this large string of lights that shines brightly, not just here in this place, as it's so easy to do, but out in our world, where people are living in the sin and darkness of unbelief. Finally, I read a story several years ago that was told by an older pastor about a congregation in New York City. They were a very traditional and strict congregation, much like the one that I serve. And lo and behold, on one particular Sunday, there was a man who had the audacity, like Dr. Okamoto, to sit in the front row. He wasn't wearing red shoes, but he had a sombrero on his head, and that was a problem. The usher who was on duty that day saw the man in the hat, and he beelined it to the front before the worship service was to start, and he very politely encouraged the man to remove his hat, but to no avail. He just wouldn't do it. The senior head usher was also on duty that day, and he was summoned, and he went to the front, and he also encouraged the man to remove his hat, but he wouldn't do it. And so it got serious. The president of the ladies' aid arrived at church, and she went up, and she encouraged this man to remove his hat, and he wouldn't do it. And that was a problem. And so the warden of the congregation was brought into play. And he snuck up down the side aisle, through a couple pews, and just a few minutes before tip-off, before the service was to begin, he reached for the hat, and the man successfully ducked out of the way, and that hat remained firmly on his head. Since service was about ready to begin, there was no more time for confrontation. And when the opening hymn was played and the processional cross was brought into the sanctuary, the man stood up and he removed his hat. And all was saved. After the worship service, the four who had confronted the man about wearing a hat in worship were waiting for him in the back. You can just see how this rolls in one of our congregations. Trust me. The warden of the congregation approached the man and said, "Sir, we have a policy about men wearing hats in church. You must not understand that." The man said, "I fully understand. I've been going to this church for over 2 years, and this is the first time I've met anyone. Today I've met 4 different people. The usher, the head usher, the president of the women's missionary aid, and the warden." My friends, what's it going to take for us to let our light shine, both inside and outside the house of God? I pray that inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God's great gift of love to us in the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, that we, moved by that love, will always remember that we were once darkness. But because of what Jesus has done for us fully and freely at the cross and the empty tomb, we are now light in the Lord. And so let us, the people of God, walk as children of the light, as he is in the light. And with that we say, amen.